Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers bringing our love of astrology and our interest in it to you, hoping to make it available and real and tangible and useful to the public. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you today from Hell's Kitchen in New York. I'm in New York for the week and joined by Mark.
Also in Hell's Kitchen, Mark Wolf.
And Anne.
Anne Ortley on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk. Not in Hell's Kitchen, but my grandmother was born, my great-grandmother was born there on 44th Street. Yeah. My roots are from Hell's Kitchen, too, even though I'm not there tonight.
Well, it's welcome, and tonight we can begin to feel the energy shift. Last couple of days, after that very deep, profound, interior, face your dark place, new moon in Scorpio on Saturday, we're really looking at some major issues and mostly very emotional and deep currents, but not emotional as in melodrama and tears, emotional like large whales swimming slowly under the surface, all of our stuff moving and churning, coming through and keeping us a little distracted. Then after that, the moon went into Sagittarius on Sunday, enlivening us, bringing us here and present and beginning to turn the corner. That corner started to turn when Mars went to Sagittarius a few days ago. And just now, just very recently, in the last few hours, Mercury has left Scorpio and entered Sagittarius, beginning to upward, onward, bringing in new ideas, new hope, new information, new restlessness. So it should be an interesting turning point week. Some very strong emotional aspects along with it, but an interesting turning point week. So, what do you two see coming up? Mark?
Well, I'm just looking ahead a little bit. It's actually not a wild, wild week, so it's a good one.
No. Isn't that nice for a change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of, take care of business, feel a little bit of free of the pressure a little bit, so you can do stuff that was just a little too small to worry about before.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's too small now. So take a week to take care of the small mm-hmm. stuff. And by next Monday, we'll have Mars sextiling Saturn and
mm-hmm.
the Sun trining Jupiter. And those are really good energies, again, for the small stuff. You know, the little things
mm-hmm.
that, just need a little fussing.
Contribute to the big things.
Yeah, and they fall into place, and then they make room for bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like, it's not for building the framework of the platform. It's just for nailing the planks onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And the nailing of the planks, the new structure begins, but it's not formed enough to stand on. Yeah, no, it's a good analogy.
One of the things that I've seen with Venus is just retrograded back into Libra and out of Scorpio is that some good memories are surfacing. I've noticed that just in the last day or two that people are reaching back into the past for some of the positive experiences, the sweet memories. I was at a memorial service, was all about that this weekend, but also conversations that we're talking about, going back to some of the more delectable moments of our life and remembering that they existed, which is Venus retrograde in Libra. And it can bring some sweetness to the present moment in our life that we remember that we have more access to some of our better memories right now than we've had for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are you seeing?
Well, I think I was really kind of focusing on the full moon, because the new moon, because your image of the surfacing from the deep, the image, mm-hmm. the moon itself had a finger of God in it, at least the one cast mm-hmm. for Washington, mm-hmm. and it was mm-hmm. on the whale or the sea monster mm-hmm. fixed star,
mm-hmm.
and on mm-hmm. the dolphin fixed star, so that mm-hmm. there would be things mm-hmm. surfacing from our unconscious, rising mm-hmm. up, and having mm-hmm. us see them And then then we're supposed to play with them, not to be afraid of them, but to play with them and be creative with them and say, hi, sea monster, nice to see you here. And what'd you surface for? What are you bringing me? What are you showing me? What is the story that I'm coming to? And I've been hearing people really report on some wicked, wild dreams, you know, where the dreams are really speaking on a very profound level to them about their vision and their path and what they're here for. So the dream is the unconscious, the monster surfacing from the depths. And if you've ever gone whale watching, when the whale breaches, it's like so exciting because it's like it comes out of nowhere and this thing pops up and you're like, oh my God, it's so big. And then it goes down and you're like, wow. And you're just amazed at the immensity of the size and also the volume and the intensity. Yes. And I think as we have our memories surface from the underworld, from the ocean of our unconscious, it's about giving them permission to come to life and saying, oh, memory, come to me, talk to me, tell me what I need to know of you. So let me work with you in a positive form. And I think giving ourselves permission to have that happen this week, because it is a quiet week in many ways. There's some stressful aspects, but by and large, you know, and we also have, there is a little thing I was a bit noticing was the eclipse degree from last summer is triggered. The one, because Pluto and Mars join on the node, and that is on the eclipse degree, that the one from June 26th. So it can bring back the story from then. But it also is, let's go forward and let that sea monster surface scare us a little and then have us go, okay, wow, that was so exciting, but now what? Was the sea monster coming back? And you have that memory of, was it a dream? Did I really see the sea monster, or was that just my, wow? And you never are the same, because you're aware of the power and aware of the transformational quality. And I think that's part of what we're looking at this week ahead, too. These quiet weeks, especially after all the work we've been doing in the dark of the Venus retrograde, in the mud, in the muck, in the mire, now are really saying to us, what was the purpose of that? Why did I take you into the mud? And in our quiet moments, it comes and whispers in our ear, and it says, this is why you were in the mud. And you go, really? That's why? Wow, okay. And it helps. It's kind of the quiet weeks sometimes help us clear the mud. So I'm kind of looking forward to that piece. And to drying out a little, because we aren't sitting in the swamp anymore. We can dry out.
And how do you mean
that
astrologically, that we're no longer with all the planets and water signs?
Yay.
We now have some fire. We now have some air. We now have some movement.
Yes. A little frisky. Yeah.
So it's more balanced. It's less in the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a chance to reach out and connect. It's after some extremely introverted weeks. There's a fresh breath of extroversion, which can be a little boring when people use it to avoid their real issues, but it's a real help when people have been deep, deep inside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. There's one sun semi-square Pluto on the 10th, and that will be just kind of bringing up some of our power dynamics and some of our power issues, and may look at something we're afraid to lose. But it's important that Pluto's message then is not that we have to lose it, but it cranks up our thought that we might, so that we notice what's worth fighting for and what do we need to let go of.
Right.
And be willing to do that work. It's not a heavy duty aspect. It's short-lived, but that sense of the fear of loss can nudge us to continue and deepen our work. Or the honoring of loss may be an important step for the next phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the honoring of loss, too, with the Pluto on the north
node.
Absolutely.
Note.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the potential for loss, maybe. Hopefully no loss happens, but the idea that loss can occur, and what does it look like? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was talking to someone. We did a talk tonight about, you know, for basics for newcomers of how can you use astrology for the public, which was really interesting. But I have is one of the people who was more astro savvy in the audience asked me about the Chiron Neptune conjunction, and I was talking about the two major stories that we found that fit that for me, because when any two planets conjunct, they affect one another. You know, Chiron Neptunes and Neptune Chirons, and Chiron as the image of the wounded healer, when it conjuncts Neptune, we see when anything conjuncts Neptune, it becomes mythic, just absolutely mythic. I remember when Neptune conjunct the asteroid Ceres in my chart in the House of Children, and it looked like I was heading into a power struggle at that point, over my custody battle over my children at that point. It didn't materialize, but it threatened. And that was living out the myth of Ceres or of Demeter who lost Persephone. It's like, you know, whenever Neptune touches something, you just feel yourself literalize a myth. So I'm looking at the Neptune Chiron conjunction, and I was watching the role of the wounded healer mythically lived out. And I was, where are we seeing that? There are many places we're seeing that right now. But one of the pieces that I liked, because we often look at the training, when we look at Chiron, we see we go through a difficulty. It speaks of a time when there's a difficulty that trains us with a skill about healing that we'll need later on and we can give to others. And I think of the Chilean mining disaster and what a mythic, that a hole was such a mythic piece. And yes, there's Pluto conjunct the North Node and interesting Pluto aspects around that. But one of the things I see is that we had, because this is a Chiron conjunction in Aquarius, that we had an image there of what happens when everybody works together to solve a problem, when every country works, every Aquarian, every country works together to solve a problem. This little myth and this little success when we saved 33 people, with the whole world watching, with every bit of technology focused on those 33 people. There are 33 people die every day that no one's helping. But that catalyzed us. And how important that small example of here's a danger and here's how we solved it. Now we know how to do that. Now we can pass it on to others. That we're going to need as we face some of the bigger environmental disasters coming up over the next few years and in the years ahead, that we have an image, that we have the wounded healer, we have an image of what, of how to work together to solve a problem. I thought that was really key, as well as the other way, Chiron to Neptune, the wounding of the waters we saw during the Gulf disaster that's still causing problems throughout the whole ecosystem of the Gulf and will for a nice long time, that how the waters were wounded here, but what we learned about underwater drilling around the Gulf disaster and how to solve that problem as best we could and what not to do next time may be essential in the years ahead when we face other ecological crises. So just, and how to take water, the health of our waters more seriously.
Right. Yeah.
So I just thought that those two were really interesting examples of that Chiron-Neptune conjunction, which is now that we're out of the swamps, we can take a look at some of the bigger aspects going on.
Right. Well, we also had the elections.
Yes.
Which I think it would be helpful if we talked a little bit about what those looked like astrologically.
Yes, go ahead, Anne.
Well, no, I'm about to cough, so I'm going to put myself on mute, but Mark can talk. Mark, you there?
Well, I'm looking for the wounded healer in the election.
I have the wounded coughing. Well, I think, the wounded healer is Barack Obama.
A lot of wounded.
Yes.
More wounded than healers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but maybe that's it.
I think in a lot of ways, we sort of in this country took advantage of the image of a wounded healer, because people were trying to wound a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of deliberate wounding going on, in all seriousness. You know, and a lot of deliberate lies were told, and we're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of messing with that archetype.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we
mm-hmm.
did have Neptune and Chiron conjunct leading up into this. And, you know, Neptune is you know, it can draw us toward a higher connection with people, or it can also just really allow us to cop out of being honest and, you know, play with illusions and try to be deceptive. And I think we saw both.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, overall, there was a lot of the imagery was whoever was in office was taken to task. And, you know, I think that in a lot of ways, there is a wounding that goes on. And
did you see that? I saw that also is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is I want something different, new and fresh. You know, the Uranus is the, you know, and now for something completely different aspect. And
right.
It felt like that when the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, no matter who's in office, somebody new will be called in.
Yeah, and this is all coming out of the Uranus opposite Saturn, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, people have been itching for the last year as that opposition, you know, moved through. People have been itching to you know, throw the bombs out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, you know, in the month
without
before
really
the election.
Assessing who's a bum and what's actually going on.
Right.
Right. If they're in office, they must be, you know, part of the
problem.
Entrenched problem. And so let's throw them all out. And really, that was a lot of pressure on all the incumbents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them were being sort of taken to task more than let off the hook, you know. And because usually an incumbent has an advantage in most elections. The incumbent.
Not when there's a major Uranus aspect.
But, yeah, with that, Uranus opposite Saturn, we're saying, hey, let's go with Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything is better than this.
Right.
That was a lot of
mm-hmm.
the feeling. And that's very
mm-hmm.
much Uranus opposite Saturn. You know, even if it's not tried, you know, we don't know, will it work better or not? Fine. At least it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now, the unfortunate thing going forward is if people, if politicians sort of seize on that theme, and that's all we're going to hear next time around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
I'm different. I'm not, you know, and they'll think they can run on that. I'm not so sure.
I don't think it will be. I think there's going to be some. Right. I think there's going to be some very different dynamics in the next election. But part of it will be in reaction to this, and it's like, how can they get the right message? Not the. I'm hearing a lot of people justifying taking the election as if it was a mandate for something I do not think it was.
No. Mm-mm.
But they
do
seem to justify their own opinion. So
right,
if they can, but we need to slow down and take a look at what does need to be healed and what does need to be fixed and improved here. And
yeah.
I think that possibly that's where the Chiron part of the aspect comes in. The Uranus said, now for something completely different. But the Chiron's saying, how can we make this a healing? How can we see what needs healing and do the work now?
Right, right.
Well,
right,
and I actually kind of like it on some level. Not that I'm not, you know, there's a part of me that's like, we have to have a different kind of conversation than we've been having up until now. And now, because the Republicans are in one of the houses and the Democrats have the other, we either can have everybody's in. You know, everybody's got some skin in the game. So you can't just be obstructionist now. You actually have to do something. And if you're standing there being obstructionist, rather than we hate his agenda, it's like, okay, what do you got? You know, let's see what you got, and this isn't working, and let's do this. And I think that piece is good. The part that I had trouble with was them jumping up and down about the health care bill and saying, we're going to repeal it. And I'm kind of like, with Chiron and Neptune going forward, there was a lot of liberal stuff that was actually passed in the first couple years of the administration. Not everything, certainly, but a lot of it. And I think leaving things in place and working with them, because I do think there is a healthcare problem, and I think it needs to be addressed. It's not an issue that can be handled through corporations and through capitalism. It's just healthcare should be a right as opposed to, you know, a benefit that we all have to, you know, hopefully get or be denied of because they've decided we've got a pre-existing condition. So there's a part of me that's like, well, let me see how this lays out. But with the Republicans in place and with the Uranus square Pluto, we've got 7 Uranus square Plutos coming. Those are revolutionary aspects. And they also create a real foment of change because Uranus and Aries squaring Pluto and Capricorn says, no, I'm sorry, you're still not getting it. And I think that piece is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Because this was the Pisces part, which is that we're unhappy, but we don't actually have necessarily a direction. And then once the Uranus piece kicks, I think it'll be very interesting. Because Uranus goes into Aries for 8 years in March. And then it has 7 squares to Pluto. And I think environmental disasters are certainly one way it's going to show up. But I also think that it's the... how are we going to change Uranus, the existing Pluto corporate government structure that isn't working the way we would like it to work? Because it's an opening square, it's a crisis of change. And it's back to the 1960s where we said government can legislate things. And yes, indeed it can, and the civil rights and the equal rights and all that. But it also then says, well, government needs to take some Uranus action against the corporations running things instead of people. So I think that's going to be where it also goes next, is let's go work more. And the other thing I thought was really interesting, a friend of mine was talking to me about the Hispanic vote went out very big for Harry Reid, went out very big in California, and basically voted Democrat real strongly and kind of said, you know, as an ethnic minority, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? What's our vision of what the culture is? And theirs is, well, not what you're giving us, you know. Let's move it. Let's change it. And I think that's the part, if we can focus on the change rather than looking for the approval, you know, which is where we tend to get. Like, well, do you approve of me? You're going to vote me in? And I, you know, I'm also of a, I hope Barack, you know, because he's got Mars at 21 Virgo, and he does do well when he's in a fight, rather than when he is on his kind of, you know, I run everything, and he was shadow boxing. He couldn't get a good chin on the Republicans, you know. He couldn't get a good land a good blow because they were dancing out of sight, out of way, yelling at him, shouting at him.
There's been that one of the my key issues this week, when I see this line up in Sagittarius, Mercury is just under Sagittarius. You know, Sagittarius is the myth of the emperor has no clothes on. It is the myth of the Sagittarian capacity to speak the truth guilelessly and directly, and that something has been pulling the punches. I don't see why there haven't been more slander charges in this election, but trying to pare down through the layers of propaganda and just see how we can bring some layers of honesty and transparency. I think we might see some real efforts along those lines in the news and in political chess game as part of this lineup in Sagittarius. So I'm hoping on all sides that they learn to that this week and in many other places, you know, personally, we may also be feeling some of that. Is there a place where we haven't been as honest as we have before, when we couldn't say it when the planets were lined up in Scorpio because it was too much charge behind it? But now we can see a truth that we couldn't have said before because the Sagittarius allows us to say it with less guile and more directness.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you think that will show up, though? I mean, do you think people will actually be speaking more truthfully, or what?
Yeah.
Just calling out people on them.
I think they'll be calling out people. I think they might be speaking more. I think they'll be finding out evidence that they hadn't said before. I think in relationships you're going to hear people saying, you know, this has been bothering me for a while, whereas I would have shot your head off last week. But this week I can just say, hey, it's bothering me. Or, you know, I really love that. I didn't tell you that before because I was feeling a little guarded. But the capacity of just saying the simple truth, not complex truths, but just simple, direct, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It might be some case of where we see more transparency on where election funds come from, or demand for transparency along that line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should outlaw corporations as people.
There was a huge
amount of money awash in this election.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have an enormous amount of power, and I think that needs to be one of the things the Tea Party people maybe can go after. Let's get rid of those
corporations. Oh, but they're actually supported.
I know. But call them out
so
on it and say, why are you working for corporations? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we have anybody online? I'd like to, maybe we can start by giving out the number for our call-in show.
Mm-hmm. Let me mosey back over. I moved over into the couch because my little butt was feeling sorry on the wooden...
Mm-hmm.
on the wooden chair. All right, we did have a caller. If they're still there, yep, we have a 215 caller. We'll pick them up in a second, and I'll give out the number. 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881, if you want to call. And hi, 215, you're on the air. Can we help?
Yes, hi, Heather. Hi, Mark. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Philadelphia. And
my hometown.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm a big astrology fan. I've had my birth chart done, but I'm not I'm not real aware of like transits and things like that and certain things.
But give us your birth data first, Cindy, and then tell us what you're looking for.
Okay. February 23rd, 1954, 6:22 p.m.
Hold on, 1954.
54,
and,
right. 6:22 p.m. in Philadelphia. Yes.
Okay, what's your question?
I have had the worst 18 months of my life. And just wanted to know. Something about, I think, my seventh house. I had a failed marriage just basically abandoned after 17-year marriage with, out of the blue. I mean, it's like total destruction of the life that I spent 20 years building. Gone. So I'd like to know.
I'm sorry, hon.
Oh, thank you. I would like to know what happened astrologically with that, and what do you see maybe in the next year that possibly will be better, hopefully?
Well, you know, it looks like my first glance on that, remember we were talking a little bit earlier tonight about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and now for something completely different, throw the old out, find something new.
Right.
That happened in your house of partnership and marriage.
Okay.
That happened in Jupiter conjunct Uranus. And when Uranus goes through anybody's seventh house, it's an easy time to divorce. But it may not necessarily be divorce, but it's often something has to transform in your marriage one way or the other.
Okay.
Jupiter conjuncting Uranus there suggests to me a real that it was kind of sudden to you.
Very
sudden.
Out of the blue.
And your partner said, I need to be free. I need to be me. And you've been saying, I have not been holding you back.
Right.
But when I look at your chart, it says you tended to sacrifice for your other for your partner for a while. You have the little asteroid called Vesta in the seventh house, and you tend to sacrifice for the other. And as a Sun, Venus, and Mercury in Pisces on the seventh house cusp, you tend to know what your partner needs before they do.
Mm-hmm.
And take care of it and almost disappear yourself.
Yeah.
So you've been forced to come back and find yourself. This week, Mars is conjunct your Mars, giving you more energy to make some changes. But it's really, you see that in some ways, you would put your partner ahead of you until you weren't really there.
Right.
And now you're coming back to you and coming back alive. You've got a beautiful grand trine and water signs for you. It looks like the last 3 months sucked, that it was just an emotional swamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
watch how much you're the next 3 weeks is different, that you begin to come alive. There's new people, there's new information, there's new possibilities. It's just after Saturday beginning to turn for you. And yes, you'll be processing this for a long time.
Okay.
And that, you know, you're learning never to abandon yourself again, to listen to yourself more loudly, turning up the volume on yourself so your life is yours. And then you make compromises and get along with your partner. But your tendency was to put your partner first. And now we want you to put yourself as important as your partner, not more, not less, but really take care of yourself in this.
Okay.
So that the next relationship will feel far more egalitarian and you won't disappear.
Okay. Do you think there'll be another relationship, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have perfect capacity to do so. And you take it away from here.
Yeah, no, I think totally. And actually, you'll like this one a lot, the new one coming in. Two things. One, you have a finger of God, you know, with when Uranus in the apex in the seventh house, aspecting Juno, the planet of partnership and marriage, and aspecting Ceres, the mother planet. So Mercury, which is the ruler of your ascendant, right, in the seventh house, says, I go to partner to get my... You know, I go to partner retrograde, Mercury, Red, Pisces. I don't have to even speak to kind of meet the needs. Uranus came to hit Mercury. And that when an outer planet aspects the apex of the finger of God in a chart, it says to the chart, okay, that's over, next. And it kind of blows apart like a lightning bolt from above. And Uranus is a lightning bolt anyway, but hitting that finger of God, it really went into... very old stuff, and in indications are with the stuff in the 12th that the relationship on some level was started fairly young, and you're blowing up your 15, what you wanted in a marriage at age 15, to allow yourself to now have the marriage that you need as a 56-year-old or a partner that you need at 56. So it's kind of like a one life, two life. We normally, in the old days, would die when we hit our 40s because our reproductive cycles were finished and we completed our job and, you know, move off stage and leave. And now we have life too. So ruler of your second marriage is Venus in Pisces, and she's nicely aspected, and she's also in that finger of God. She forms one too. So I think what you want to say to yourself is, karmically, the purpose of that relationship was served, and it blew apart because it was time for it to blow up. And the universe, in your case, you know how like sometimes you're driving along and you're in charge of your chart, and other times you're driving along and your chart just says, no, we're not going there, Cindy, we're going left. And it's a little like the guy in Baywatch, you know, the David Hasselhoff, where the car starts talking and goes, no, we're going left now. And your chart does that with you. And the marriage was at that point. The chart was like, we're done with this. Boom, blow it up. Now, it felt like it came from outside of you, but it's the ruler of your chart, Mercury, that got the hit, that said, no, this is really for Cindy's greater growth. We need to get rid of this guy and have her start her next. Mm-hmm. You're now having Saturn go through your second house, which is the time, if you go back to 1980-82, when you probably put down roots the last time. And you said, okay, I'm ready now. Now Saturn's saying to you, you were born again. You know, he blew up your marriage. Now Saturn's going through the second house, and he says to you, we want you to commit again to the next 30-year cycle, the next 29-year cycle, back to 80-82, the commitment you made then. There's a repeat. What did they feel like? What did they look like? How are you doing with those? And because you have Saturn in Scorpio, there's a little bit of fear around really being in a relationship where you're equal. And part of the blowing up of the marriage was to say to you, well, one of your, what you're supposed to work on is a really deep soul union, and you're ready for it now. Whereas when you married the first time, maybe not so much. But new partner or new life, whatever we're going to make in the new life with Saturn going through the second, is profound. What does that look like? And I think giving yourself permission to just kind of say, okay, universe, you blew up the marriage. It's my finger of God saying time for a new life. What's the new life look like? And be very open-armed in welcoming it. The other thing is the babies that were born in 54, I'm 1-2, we have a T-square in our chart with Neptune, square Chiron, square Uranus on the nodes in your case. So the other reason your marriage blew up was because your first job was done and now your new job's coming in and you need the flexibility and the freedom for the new job. And that's really the cool job. And now as Pluto starts to climb and as that T-square gets activated, you're going to find out what the new job is. So, you know, it blew up for a reason in the sense of next, okay, and you're like, what, you know, and the universe is like, you're done with that, bye. And you're like, but I'm not. But the universe is like, no, you really are, it's time, you're ready. And Virgo rising,
about a year ago.
Yeah, Virgo rising never really feels like they're quite done. They wanted, they're no, don't take it, I'm not finished with it yet. But that last bit of sauce on the plate, it was time for it to go.
Yeah, and it's so important for you to know that you were not a failure because it ended.
Oh, thank you.
It's so important for you to know that it was a matter of completion, not a matter of failing.
That you were done
you
with
did
the job.
Your work.
Yeah.
You were done with the job. And that your partner isn't really, hasn't owned back. I have a feeling that, you know, there's going to be some real regret on that side, but you're not going to be interested once you've been pushed away.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. He's a Gemini.
And I think, lucky for another Gemini, which
I thought was interesting. But,
Yeah,
I wonder, but it's kind of, there's nothing
I think
to
that
come
in the process
to.
That you don't realize how lonely you've been in the marriage. And that you haven't been seen. You've been doing four, and all the forms have been in place. But I don't think that your partner's been there for you anywhere near as much as you've been there for your partner.
You're 100% correct, yes. I was always the nurturer, the caregiver, the one that pushed him, that helped him succeed. Mm-hmm. And then it seems like when he got to a certain place, you know, met a younger woman, you know,
you never said, look at me. And he never knew how to look at you.
No.
And so you raised him, you launched him, he's off. Now you're ready for someone who can look and go and go, ooh, Cindy, who are you?
That would be nice.
In a way that he never has.
No, he really, he just kind of, when I look back, he just kind of took and I kept giving.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And you're not going to agree to that again.
No, I'm not.
Okay? You're not. It looks like it's really important for you to be around new, fresh people, new ideas, places. And I'd like you to put that giving capacity of yours into some work or volunteer organization where they need that and keep it out of your relationships and let your relationships be more egalitarian.
Okay.
Okay?
I can do that.
You can, one thing that will help you is to draw on the resources within you that you've been developing all this time. Because you have so much within you that is really stable, really strong, and you know what it represents. But it hasn't been asked for in direct ways. It It's all been just little here and there, no real credit coming to you. And that's been fine with you up until now. But shifting into part two, it has to be where it's not a matter of taking credit so much as acknowledging. Do you know the difference? Like just acknowledging, yes, I know that. Yes, I can do that. And then getting it done. And you have so much within you that you've just put together and is very strong, but it has never, you know, come out in a way that you're recognized for. So just calmly take charge of things and just say, okay, that's something I can do. I'll do it. And just name the things you can do and go do them. And you'll see that things fall into place in a whole new way.
Wow. Oh, I definitely appreciate this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Good luck.
Hey, good.
Yes, good luck. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Hey. No other callers. Callers. 347-215-8881. Call if you have a question. Call if you don't have a question. You just want to talk. tell us what you think about the election. All right. The other thing I noticed this week, what are we doing with the moons? We have moons. So the moon aspects, we always look to see what the aspects of the moon are as they leave the sign. So when we watch those moon aspects, they give us a feeling of whether the energy is working with us or not. And basically this week has very nice closing aspects for all the moons. They're productive. It's kind of out in the world. It's the Sagittarius, the Capricorn, the Aquarius, and then a little bit of Pisces on Sunday. So we're out in the world, energy with the world. We're saying to the world, we're ready, we're here, let's go, come on. And because Venus is now in air signs, Moon in Sag is a sextile to her. Moon in Aquarius has a trine to her. And then the Capricorn Moon is very happy in his placement because he's talking to Uranus. So they're very lovely, good week for doing stuff. Saturday and Sunday has a lot of stressful aspects, so it's just kind of a little squawky kind of energy. But you know, just stress with the group, stress with whatever. And we have another caller, 705. Here we come. Hi, 705. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I actually sent in an email to I think to Anne earlier today. I had a weird question. It's actually not about this week. It's I think the week after, just about the full moon coming up. Okay, sort of a weird question. I have my sun in Taurus at 29 degrees, and I noticed that the upcoming full moon is at 29 degrees Taurus, and I was just wondering if there's any significance in having that.
Okay, can you give us your birth information?
Absolutely. It's May 20th, 1980, and it was in Toronto, Canada.
Okay. And what time in Toronto?
8:51 a.m.
Okay, so May 1980. May 1st, 1980.
May 20th.
I'm going to type in BC. I don't know how I did that.
Oh, no, I think BC is a different time zone, but
No, BC like before Christ, not
before Christ.
Toronto,
okay. Yeah,
May 20th, I was like zero BC. What the heck am I doing here? It's too much water. I guess my brain's afloat. All right, May 20th, 1980, 8:51 in the morning in Toronto. Okay, and you've got that full moon coming.
Cancer rising, and the full moon. You've got your sun at 29:38 Taurus. Your moon in Leo. With a Cancer rising, and Venus at 2 degrees Cancer, has Pluto has been opposing it on and off for the last couple of years. How much fun! So you know, there's that looks like it's been some interesting challenges and in sort of turning over the loam of your soil as Pluto's been opposing your Venus for the last couple of years. And you were wondering about the full moon coming up.
Well, yeah, like I just thought it seemed like I've always been curious about that 29 degrees, like the whole Pleiades funny thing about 29 degrees Taurus. I don't know much about, like I've tried to research it but never found very much information other than the really old, like predictive astrology where it's like you sad star, you will cry a lot or something. And I was like, okay, there's got to be more.
Star of many tears, yes. Well, you want to go back to May of 2009,
okay?
Because back then, in the new on the full the new moon back then, you started something, and now you're at the full moon of that time. So May of 2009, and you had the opening quarter in February, Aquarius of this year, where it said, "Okay, let's test what we began." And now you're going to have the full moon on that point saying, okay, let's create. And the moon and the sun is a marriage. Start something. Sun, in your case, rules the second house, rules the third house. So in May of 2009, did you change your ideas about things? Did you come to a new vision?
Completely. That's crazy. Yeah, I completely started, was interested in going into a new path for career, and I've been planning to go back to school. So right now I'm in the process of actually like getting together lots of applications for grad school and going into a completely new career. So for sure this is
wonderful.
And they're all due around that time. Like,
right, and 10 months from now, when we get to August, when you have the closing square, you're going to be going to school and you're going to be packing up and going, wow, here I am at the end of August going off to the new schools.
As Pluto trines your Mars and encourages your ambition.
And so think of it as what a lunar cycle does is it says emotionally, what do you need? And you felt you needed something of more to value yourself with and something to encourage your vision of creativity, because the North Node's there in Leo on that house saying, what do I need to get where I want to go? And maybe I need this. And so that is what the lunar cycle does, is it says we started something, you processed it, and now you're actually ready. And for you, moon phases are really important because your Cancer rising.
I'm
so whenever
so
the moon is
the
doing
moon,
anything, your chart's flying around because you just have this very lunar rising sign. You also have a water midheaven, you know, so water energy for you just kind of flies. And that, I think, is really the story of the full moon. Now, the last degree of any sign is where the culmination of the sign happens. So all of the first 29 degrees of Taurus are built up in your Taurus sun. So it's kind of a super duper Taurus, but really when you were half a year old, you turned into a Gemini.
I know, right? It was like, it was like the same day practically or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you mean? Wait, I don't think I understand. Sorry, I thought you meant the sun moved into the next sign.
It did, right. And by progression, emotionally, you had a major change in your first year of life around the family structure that corresponded to that shift and change, because the progression says, okay, so she's here, let's move her forward into this whole new life. Forward she goes. And now, 30 years later, your progressed sun's changing signs again, going into a whole new life. So you're
where
really...
Where is it going? I don't know anything about progressed sun. So where...
Your emotional readiness for anything is shown by your progressions.
Wow,
so your
progressed
sun right now is 28 Gemini. Right, so in a year, it shifts into Cancer, which then says, let me be ruled by my moon in Leo. Let me do work that I love. Let me follow my passion towards what my heart desires. So you're shifting from a mental life into a much more creative life. That's part and parcel of this transition. We're plants. We're like tomatoes or rutabagas or turnips. You got planted at the last degree of Taurus. And then you turned into a Gemini, and you've been a Gemini for 29 years and change, and you're turning into a Cancer very soon, which makes you much more lunar-based and emotional and sensitive, and you have a lovely moon in Leo in the second house, so it's exalted by placement, and it's a great moon, fun, playful, creative. So this transition you're undertaking is really to give yourself the creativity that the Taurus sun truly deeply wants. Because it is springtime. It's all about creating beauty and grace. So what's your new degree going to be in?
Oh, like counseling or social work. So
That's wonderful.
But I was in the arts, so I was in visual arts, but I'm moving more into like a helping profession, which is, I guess, creative in a different way.
Well, I have a feeling that art therapy is going to be something that you take and run with. The symbol for the Taurus is a peacock parading on an ancient lawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great image of the, you know, the natural celebration of yourself on something that you've built over history.
And again, that suggests to me, as a full moon hits your sun in the house of connection and partnership and community, the Pluto has been opposing your Venus, so as part of you has left the art field and you're going into the helping professions. But when you realize how much art has helped you, because Venus in your 12th house, art has been your own healing method. Art's been your therapy.
That's true.
And I think that you're going to find a way of incorporating art therapy in anything else that you do. I want you to really kind of work with that and think about that as a possibility. Because that image of that Satan symbol for your son, to me, suggests that you're not abandoning the past here. That how do you celebrate and work with and explore other options on something that you've been building upon?
And nothing is wasted either.
Right.
So that whole art piece is going to become part and parcel of your new future. It's going to be integrated into it because it's an experience your chart was called to. And it's a big one, and the creativity is very important to you. So you're going to integrate it on a different level, perhaps, than you've done up until now. But like I shifted from being a computer person to being an astrologer, I still use the computer skills all the time. You know, it was part and parcel of my background. And a lot of times when people are going, well, you know, I'm throwing it all away, I did all that. It's like, no, it doesn't go to waste. The universe doesn't waste things. It says, that was phase one. Phase two is happening now. Get excited. And so you're really giving yourself permission to allow your Leo moon to truly express itself by going back for school. So I think it's great. And I full steam ahead, you know. But forward, yeah.
Is there anything to keep in mind at this time? Because sometimes I try to sort of like I've noticed like just even learning about like just I don't even know anything about progress sun, so now I'm going to be furiously researching. But I didn't know. I've just been noticing like say the different like just paying attention to moon transits through different signs, and just even noticing the different energies of the days. And I've been able to definitely sense that and make more use of that energy. Like it. But I was just wondering like if there would be any. Like if there's any significance to having it be like lined up like that with your like the moon, the full moon, and the sun, like what?
You know, we talk about your natal chart as being your original musical instrument, and the transits are what music is being played on that instrument. So yes, whenever those land on your chart, they're highlighting those parts of your chart. When you have a full moon land right on your sun, you know, it really brings the light to who you truly are. And you can ignore it and just feel like you're in the sunshine for the day, or you can use it as a time to kind of really look at yourself with clear eyes and let it enliven you.
That sounds fantastic. That's so great. Thank you, all of you.
You're welcome. Mark, you got anything to say? You're quiet tonight.
Yeah, I like to talk about the art theme and art therapy. I think that really makes a lot of sense for this chart. And you'll find, that you're ready to do that. And having the sun in the last degree of a sign is always a person that is letting go of things. You're shifting away from stuff. So don't be at all reluctant to make a shift. Go ahead and, you know, go back to school, start something new.
Does that mean
and
it's like perpetual shifting? Sorry, I just said, does that mean like that there's always a theme of shifting? Like, is there ever?
Sure.
Oh, no. Okay,
sure.
Okay.
But not in an unstable way. It's in a progressive way. It's a willingness to go ahead, to let go of what's been and move forward into something else and say, how can I now take whatever I've had and make something else of it.
Okay.
And that's very creative. And you have that Leo moon, which is a very creative moon. And one that makes people comfortable with creativity.
Yeah, I think I have to do some thinking about how to integrate the creativity? Because I was looking at more like mindful or spiritual approaches to to psychotherapy. Like that really interests me, and I feel like that is creative in a lot of ways. But I wonder if that. I don't know. Like
but
I think
separates the two. I mean, art is spirit. Spirit is art. Art can be your way of helping people get out of their heads and into their heart. So I think that it's important all that, you know, your moon in Leo, your expression is essential to you. And you can help other people figure out how they can express to express their core.
Yeah, you can, you want to remember that art is everywhere. That can be your sort of theme. Art is everywhere. And it's constantly expressing, you know, like just you're walking along and look at something growing out of a crack in a sidewalk. And it's art and it's spirit, you know.
I do see that. I definitely do. I think you're right, though, that it's nice to keep integrating that because I did sort of once I shut the door on that path because it was hard. It was hard because I was very devoted to it for such a long time, and to make a shift, I kind of felt like, okay, that's that part of my life's over, you know, axe that, and I'll just move on. But I like the idea of sort of keeping that creativity more alive. That's nice.
Well, with your Taurus sun, you do need a regular dose of art every day, or you'll wither. You need it like water. It keeps you alive and fertile. What made you decide that you needed to leave the arts?
It was very... I think the actual like practicality of like or actuality of working in sort of the arts was really I found it really grueling. Like it was it turned like from do and even just the process of like going to school for art, like going to art like an art school, it was pretty brutal. Like I found it sort of stifled my creativity, and then I ended up just being so insecure about my art making, which I never was before.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so important for you to make your living of something that's related to the arts and save your own art form for something that's not supporting you but is your own expression.
That was
so that
plan.
If people want to buy your stuff, they can. But you're not producing it for economic demand. But you can use the process in anything else you do.
Because I tried to work like in the arts, but it's basically like it can
I'm
be
not
very
kidding. Art therapy, it'll do you wonders. You'll do them wonders.
All right, I'm going to look into that. I'm definitely open to learning different types of therapeutic approaches. So I mean that I think I would enjoy that a great deal too. Yeah,
And I think people would too.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Well, okay, that's wonderful. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Me too.
Let us know how it turns out.
Okay, I will.
We love to hang out, how it turns out stories.
Okay.
Bye. All right, cool.
We do.
Yeah, so we're towards
the back
end.
Okay, is there anybody else
time?
Where we're it's about 2 minutes left, and we're heading off into the sunset this week. So we ask, you know, final comments here. We ask with Mercury, Mars, and at the moment, Moon. Soon, Moon is heading to conjunct Capricorn tomorrow, so it's a thought warning that you find a gentle, real, and clear and productive way to tell the truth this week. You know, just because it's truthful, watch out for those sentences that begin frankly, and just because it's truthful doesn't mean it's kind or helpful. To really think, what is the useful question? What is the kind truth? To go back while Venus retrogrades in Libra and bring up your very best memories to share with one another, and remember where the beauty can be, where it can be found. And join us again next week or email us in the meantime with questions or contact any of us. You can do it through the Blog Talk Radio site or our website, astronyc.com. And in the process, we want you to, if we can serve you and do a personal reading, let us know. In the meantime, we're all going to be down tomorrow at the Open Center at 6:30. Come join us. We'll be in person, and we'll do this in person and connect.
Hi, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from New York tonight, and joined by
Mark Waltz, also in New York, and one more in New York.
And Ann Ortley, I'm over on the Upper East Side. They're over in Hell's Kitchen. Party, 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 party tomorrow night.
That's
so anyway, hope you'll drop by the Open Center at 22 East 30 Street, 6:30 to 7:30. $5, and you get wonderful astrology. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Thank you. See you. Good night.
Bye now.